Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Okay, you have your Bibles. Can I ask that you turn to the book of Leviticus? Right, turn to Leviticus chapter 1. And as you are turning there, I know this is not a book that most of us will read. We kind of skip over it a little bit. But I think that it's good for us, right, to treat every part of the Word of God as sacred. So tonight we're going to look at it, right, and I hope that as we look through the passages, you begin to really see what God has in store for us. But then again, I wanted to cover Leviticus chapter 1 to 7. So Leviticus chapter 1 to 7 is about the five sacrifices, right, the different kinds of offerings that the Israelites actually offered to God. Now the thing is that seven chapters, we won't be able to read through, right? If we were to read through, then I think we'll be here all the way until like 12 midnight, right? So what I'm going to do is that somewhere along the service, I will actually give you a summary, all right, of all these different sacrifices, right? But they were just going to refer to a little bit of it at the beginning of the sermon, all right? So to me, these five sacrifices are very important. Now, I know that most of you here will be, you know, learning music in some way or another. And you probably know that if you want to excel in music, right, learning your musical skills, in a layman's term, the do-re-mi, of course, plus more advanced stuff, is actually fundamental, right? But learning musical skills isn't something interesting. In fact, you know, as you practice the skills, it's often very repetitive, very dry. Right, but in the same way, I think this is what the sacrifices are. Right, if you find that it is boring to read them, actually it is. Alright, but it's even more, I would think, so-called boring for the people. Right, can you imagine, as an Israelite, they grew up, right, day in and day out, they have to see the priests coming and doing the same sacrifices all over again. So it's very repetitive. It can be very dry, and maybe because there's a lot of blood and all that, you know, and there are people like you who love animals, you're really scratching your head as you read these chapters, alright, and asking yourself, why? Right, what's the significance of all these things? But I just want to let you know that it's really important, alright. These sacrifices, as repetitive as they are, right, they are fundamental to our faith. Right, so today, that's what we are going to look at. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to take the next 10 minutes to tell you three characteristics of these sacrifices. Alright, this part maybe you've got to bear with me a little bit, alright? And then after that, I will go on to talk about the relevance of, you know, these characteristics. Is that okay? Right, so I hope I'm not going too fast. We just jump straight in, right, to the three characteristics of these sacrifices. Alright, if you don't know what they are, it's okay, because later on, at one point, I will talk about them in a little bit more detail. Right, so you just need to follow me when I go through the three characteristics. Right, easy to remember, they all start with the letter C. Okay, so the first characteristic is that these sacrifices are costly. Everyone say costly. Right, so let's look at Leviticus. I'm going to read from chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock.'" Right? Actually, for some people who are poorer, there are different provisions made for different kinds of animals as well. Right? And then verse 3, it says, "If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to offer a male without defect." Right? A male without defect. So this sacrifice is definitely a very costly sacrifice. Now, for them to find a male without defect is as difficult as finding a commando in Singapore with perfect vision. Amen? Alright, nowadays, for the NS guys, you go to camp, almost all the commandos wear glasses. Right? No more the what we call the PES A guys. So can you imagine, right? Here you are, as an Israelite, you are traveling with the different farm animals. And then suddenly you trip over a pebble. What happened? The leg pija. Then can sacrifice not? Cannot. Just one sprint like that, then cannot already. Right, so can you imagine in the kind of rough terrain that they are in, right, how hard it is to find a male animal without a defect. Alright, in fact, this burnt offering, I would think that this is actually the most costly one of all the different offerings. And as I mentioned just now, right, it is so costly that provision actually have to be given, right, to the poor. Some of them cannot offer that animal, as in the herd or the flock, so they end up having to offer either a pigeon or a dove, right? And it's not just costly in a material sense, but also in terms of effort. If you read in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12, you'll see that this is a daily sacrifice, right? So every day, you got to do this sacrifice. And when you burn it for the burnt offering, you actually have to burn the whole thing, all right? You cannot keep part of it to make your lamb chop, all right? So that's the first thing. The sacrifice is very costly, all right? The others are just as costly as well. The second characteristic of the sacrifices is that they are crucial. Everyone say crucial. Okay? They are crucial because they signify what is crucial in our relationship with God. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, right, today, for most of us, what is crucial, right, in our relationship with God, for most of us, it tends to be attending church. What do I mean? You attend a good church like Church of Our Savior, and you will grow. Right? You attend a lousy church like Church of Our Savior, and you will stagnate. And why I say that is because sometimes we think it's good, sometimes we think it's bad. Right? But for the Israelites, for them, the sacrifices were crucial because it signified to them what was the most crucial in their relationship with God. Alright, what do I mean by this? Can I have the next slide? So on this slide, right, you have a summary. Right, this is a summary of the seven chapters. Alright, basically you see the five different kinds of offerings. So for each offering, right, they will have a brief description and then there will be a significance. Right, so you will begin to see what they signify and you'll see how crucial they are. Alright, so let me just go through one by one in brief. Right, but burnt offering, basically you can offer different animals, but the main thing is that you have to offer and burn the whole animal. Right, that's why it is an act of worship symbolizing the total commitment to God. Alright, the grain offering, right, so they harvest grain, so when they offer the grain, it's pretty much similar to our tithes, right, with what you earn, with what you work to get, then you offer to God as a recognition of God's provision over your life. Alright, then we have the fellowship offering. So this is an interesting offering because this is the offering, the only offering that when the person offer, then he get to eat some of it as well. Right? So by that part where they, after they offer some parts to the Lord and the worshipper eat some of it, is also an act of worship, recognizing that we have this fellowship with the Lord. Alright, the other two, sin offering. One of the common traits is that they will lay their hand on the animal that they are sacrificing. So by that, it signifies that, you know, that animal, so-called, is, in that sense, standing in the gap, or an identification with a sin. And there's always blood involved, right? So we recognize that when you sin, there is death, alright? So the priests have got to put, you know, the finger into the blood, you know, and smear it, and so on and so forth, alright? So that recognizes our, you know, identification with our sins, our confessions of our sin. And the last one, alright, the guilt offering, whereby in this offering, other than just offering that animal itself, they have to offer a little bit more, right? So that little bit more is restitution, right? And restitution basically is recognizing that when we sin, there are actually consequences, right? Especially when we talk about sometimes our human-to-human relationships, alright? Like when I sin against my brother, for example, Matthew, alright? If I steal his money, right, restitution means that I don't just repay him the 100%, I should repay him more because I recognize that there is damage involved to his life. And isn't it true? Right, when someone, let's say, steal your money, it's not just the money that you lose, but there's also that emotional, psychological damage, right? So when we, you know, have the guilt offering, it's also recognized that the sin, alright, has far more consequences than just that thing that you have done. Alright, if you have stolen money from someone, it represents much more. You actually owe the person a greater debt than what you have actually taken from that person. Right? So when you look at the summary of the sacrifices in its full, right, you recognize that whatever is crucial for our relationship with God, whether is it worship, you know, whether is it thanksgiving, confessions of sins, restitution, it's all signified. Right, it's all expressed in these sacrifices. Now today, what we use, right, to express, to experience these different, you know, crucial things in our faith is mainly expressed within so-called the church program. Right, but in the sacrifices, in the Old Testament sacrifices, they are what, you know, symbolizes all these crucial elements. Alright, so they show us, right, the sacrifices are crucial because they really are being used by God, right, to express these different crucial elements of our relationship with Him. Alright, so to sum up, the sacrifices, they are costly. Number two, they are crucial. And this brings me to the third and the most important characteristic, is that they are completed. Right? Now you might be thinking, completed what? What complete? Okay. Basically, right, to follow up with the sentence is, they are completed by Jesus Christ. Now if you are wondering, why don't we still practice these sacrifices today? How come today we have no lamb and then Pastor Peter cut the head and all that? Right, it's because these sacrifices are already completed. Now how do we know that these sacrifices are already completed in the sense that they are no longer needed? Right, turn with me, right, to Hebrews chapter 10. And this is going to be the only other passage we're going to refer to today. Right, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read a few portions starting from verse 1. Alright, so as you read Hebrews chapter 10, you begin to realize that it is true, right? These sacrifices are already completed. No need, alright, to do this kind of OT sacrifices again, even though the significance is still there. Alright, are you all there? Hebrews chapter 10? Yoo-hoo, are you all there? Okay, those of you who are not there, alright, don't be lazy, alright, keep turning to it. Right, Hebrews chapter 10, right, let me read from verse 1. It says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Alright, so it's simply saying that these sacrifices cannot make anyone perfect. Alright, so they have to constantly be repeated. Verse 2, if it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. All right. Skip with me to verse 11. It says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, right, who is this priest? Referring to Jesus, alright, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, which is himself, right, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So in Hebrews itself, you see a certain contrast, right, the Old Testament sacrifices cannot make any one of us perfect, so they have to be repeated again and again and again. Right? But when Jesus, the high priest, the perfect sacrifice comes, right, it is sufficient. Right? Once and for all. Okay? No more need for any other sacrifices to come again. Right? Sometimes we go out and buy maybe, what do you all like to eat nowadays, young people? Or maybe you get a very good chocolate from your friend, right? You eat it and it's like so good and you tell yourself, man, this is the best chocolate I've ever eaten. I don't need to eat any more chocolate already. This is like the best I ever had. It's sufficient. Right? It's the same way, alright? The sacrifice of Jesus is so perfect that there is no longer any more need for any other sacrifice because there won't come another sacrifice that is any more perfect than the sacrifice of Jesus. Alright, so this tells us the sacrifices are already completed, right? Today, just imagine how awesome it is. If Jesus has not yet come, right, to earth to die on the cross for our sins, do you know what we will be doing right now? Can you imagine what's going on right now? Right? You'll get meh, right? Because there'll be like animals running around. Right? But because Jesus is here, right, it's completed. So after seeing how costly and crucial the sacrifices are, right, if you don't consider the third characteristic, just think about, wow, sacrifices, very costly, very crucial. You might start to think about, what must I sacrifice? What must I sacrifice that is costly enough? All right, what must I sacrifice to grow my relationship with God? Can I have the slide, please? Right? What must I sacrifice to grow my relationship with God? And that's very often how we as Christians think, right? But while this is an important question, right? This is a very important part. While this is an important question, what must I sacrifice to grow my relationship with God? While this is a very important question, actually, a more important, a more fundamental question is, what has Jesus sacrificed to grow my relationship with God? You get what I'm trying to say? If you know that sacrifice is very costly, very crucial, but you don't realize that it's already completed, right? All you're thinking about as a Christian, right? What must I sacrifice? What more can I give to be a better Christian? And there is a part for sacrifice, right? There's a part for us to really die to ourselves. But a more fundamental question is when you know the sacrifices are already complete, and when you come to God, the first and foremost question is to remember, what has Jesus sacrificed in order for me to have a relationship with God and to grow in my relationship with God? Okay? So, can I have the next slide, please? So, this is what I believe is the significance, right, the relevance of what we read in Leviticus chapter 1 to 7 in a very condensed way. It is to know that they are a powerful reminder of how costly and crucial Jesus' sacrifice is for us. So next time if you happen to open your Bible, you read the book of Leviticus, I think it's very boring. Alright, remember this. It's a powerful reminder for us of how costly and how crucial is Jesus' sacrifice for us. Not just something to be remembered only when Good Friday comes, but something for us to remember on a daily basis. Right. Let me repeat it again so that we can really capture this. The sacrifices are a powerful reminder of how costly and crucial Jesus' sacrifice is for us. Okay? So now I just want to very quickly, you know, highlight two things that we can apply out of what we learned today. I believe that you might have different things you realize that I can apply out of what I learned, but I just want to highlight two areas, alright? So I believe that tonight's message is relevant, first of all, to how we think about ourselves. That's the first thing. Secondly, to how we present the gospel. This one is not on a slide, but later I'll repeat again, alright? So firstly, tonight's message has relevance to how we think about ourselves. Now, I really believe that our Christian life is supposed to be victorious and not defeated, right? God wants us to be victorious in Him. But the thing is that if you are constantly thinking about what more, right, the question, what have I done? What can I do? What else more can I sacrifice in order to be a better Christian? Right? If you are constantly wondering whether your sins have already been forgiven, right? Chances are that you are missing the mark. Now, I'm not saying that you'll be very flippant towards your faith. And I'm not saying that go to the other extreme whereby you take the grace of God for granted. I'm not saying that there is no sacrifice involved in being a Christian. Alright, but what I'm saying is that if you will first and foremost consider the extent of how great is the extent of Jesus' sacrifice for you, you begin to see your life in a very different light. Right, that is why for me, alright, whenever I'm struggling in different things, when I'm struggling with sin, you know, when I share with different people my struggles and all that, I always try to not just share about, you know, what I'm struggling with, but I always try to share what I believe God is doing, God is teaching me. Alright, so it's not I'm trying to, like, you know, make me feel as if, or make me look as if I'm very holy, you know, I have no problems, I don't struggle as much as you guys. But what I'm trying to do is that to remind myself that no matter what kind of condition I am in, first and foremost, I must remember how great is God's love for me. Right, to remind myself, right, just how much God has sacrificed Himself for me. Now, have I ever felt like crap in my relationship with God? I have, you know, quite often I feel it. And sometimes I catch myself praying in such a way that, you know, like when I confess my sins to God, I'm trying to make myself like feel as bad about myself as possible. Now, how many of you can identify with me for that? Right? Sometimes you want to pray, you know that you should ask God for forgiveness for your sins, but you don't feel like very holy. Right? That kind of feeling is like, hey, I don't feel like very sorry. I must really oh God, I'm really very bad, you know. I make myself feel very bad. Then that is repentance. I believe that true repentance starts from recognizing how good God is. Right? Humility is not about how bad you are. Right? Keep thinking about how bad you are. But true humility is thinking about how good God is, regardless of how good or how bad we are. Right? So I want to encourage all of you, right, that when you come to this place in your relationship with God, and we all sin, all right? How many of you here don't sin? Man, raise your hand. Right? If you raise your hand, right, then I actually wanted to say, if you raise your hand, then you just sin because you just lie. Right? But all of us here, we sin. All right? I know that, right? All of us here, we sin. But the thing is that it's not about whether you have sinned or not that qualifies you to be a Christian. But what really qualifies you as a Christian is when you believe in how much Jesus has sacrificed himself for you and you come into a relationship with him. Okay, so can you get what I'm trying to say? I know I said quite a lot, but what I really want you all to capture is that if there's anyone here tonight, you are really struggling because you feel that you are so sinful, right? You have done some uncommittable sin, right, that no one else in this room has done. And you feel that God cannot forgive you. The truth is that God has already forgiven you. Right? Jesus' sacrifice is more than enough. Alright? The second way that I think that this message for us tonight has relevance is in how we present the gospel. Now, in the past when I try to share the gospel, I always make it a point to convince my friends, right, to think about how sinful they are. You must first know that you have sinned. Right, then you receive the gospel, right? That's how I thought. So it's like, okay, I go to my friends. Yeah, this friend doesn't think that he is very sinful, so I must try to find some way to make him think that he's sinful. Right? I mean, how many of you actually are like me? You try to convince your friends that they are sinful in order to bring them to the faith. Or only me, Right? I used to do that. But I came to this point that I realized that sharing the gospel is not just about making people think that they are sinful, right? Because I realize that actually most people, they already know that they are sinful, alright? They may not use this term, I am sinful, right? But if you speak to any non-Christian today, most of them will know that they are not perfect. Most of them will know that there are some wicked thoughts that they have, right? They are not 100% sure whether they will be considered as someone holy, alright? Most of our friends, I believe, if they have a conscience, alright, they will know that they are not perfect, that they are sinful in some way. Alright? And so I don't think we need to tell them that they are sinful, convince them. Because I think that they already know it. But what they haven't realized is that the sacrifice of Jesus, that how real it is, not just for some, you know, flaky person in church, but how real it is even for them. Right? So I begin to realize this, even as I journey as a Christian, that really, all of us, right, we know that we have sinned. But what we really need is that hope in Jesus Christ, right, to know that our sins are forgiven. All right, so I just share with you, by rounding out this sermon, a very quick illustration. You know, some years ago, I have this friend in cell. He actually brought a friend, a non-Christian friend, to our cell group. And I was actually quite surprised that it was so easy for me to lead him to Jesus. Now, at that point of time, I must admit, I was really feeling quite bad about myself. Like, I really struggled to, you know, share Christ and bring people to Jesus. And one of the things was that I felt very ill-equipped. So at that point of time, you know, I was quite new, quite young, and I didn't know things like the different kinds of gospel presentation tools. I didn't know what's the four spiritual laws. I don't really know the Bible, and I haven't finished reading it. I don't know apologetics. I don't know a lot of things. Right? And when my friends ask me questions, or they criticize Christianity, I could never find that I can respond to them, you know, in a way that is convincing. So I was really struggling, right? But when this friend, alright, brought another friend to the cell group, I was just thinking, it's like, wow, God, I feel prompted that I want to bring him to know you. I really felt that cell meeting itself is like a divine moment, you know, God, to bring someone to Christ. But I look at myself, it's like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Then suddenly, I believe by God's grace, this thing came up to my mind. I realized that, well, I'll just share with him my testimony. And I don't really think that I have a lot of so-called dramatic testimony. But to me, it's like, well, everyone should be sinful, right? Yeah, some more he's a guy, I'm a guy. It's very normal lah for us guys to be struggling with lust, right? Quite universal. So, right, I just anyhow, boom, right? So what I did, a few things that I shared, I basically shared with him, like, how I was struggling with lust, even as a Christian, right? So I told him that, you know, might look hypocritical to you, but that's really me lah, as a Christian. I shared with him how bad I actually felt about it, how difficult it is for me to share about it even. I also shared with him about how I believe that God has forgiven me. Right? That's the crucial part. And I also shared with him about how through that understanding of God's forgiveness over my life, that today I have the confidence, alright, even as in at that point, how I had the confidence to be able to serve the Lord, you know, to be able to worship Him, and to be able to live my life, you know, being very open to different people in my life. And guess what? After I shared, you know, for a long time, I thought that I cannot bring anyone to Christ. But after I shared, this person is like, okay. I was like, are you sure? Like, okay. You know, you're saying okay to what or not. You know, sometimes like that, right? You see a miracle happening to you, you cannot believe it. And so that day, I just led him to Christ, you know, prayed together. Right. So I just want to encourage you that none of us, right, if you're not too young, alright, of course I'm not saying that it's not important to be equipped, alright, you still must be equipped with the Word of God, with different kinds of tools to reach out to your friends. But my friends, most of us here, alright, when we first started sharing the gospel, we don't know all this, right, evangelism training, all those tools and all that. So for all of you, right, no matter what you know or do not know, right, the most important thing, I would think that if you already know, right, the experience of the sacrifice of Jesus, what He has done for you, right, if you believe that Jesus' sacrifice for you is already complete and you have experienced His forgiveness, that is enough for you to start sharing Christ with people. Amen? Right, you really do not need to be a Bible scholar before you start sharing Christ. If you are a Bible scholar, praise God. You know, but if you are not, you can always start. So long as you have experienced the forgiveness of Jesus. So I know this is a very fundamental teaching because we are basically talking about forgiveness, which is what already we know. But when you are truly forgiven, you have experienced it, that really plays a big part in our presentation of the gospel to people. And today, as I look across the world, I know everyone needs the forgiveness of Jesus. Some people may need healing. Some people may need, you know, financial breakthroughs. Different people have different needs. But one consistent need is all of our needs for forgiveness of our sins. Alright, shall we just stand as we close this time? And let's stand quickly, right? And in a moment's time, I'm just going to ask the worship team to lead us in a song to respond to the Lord. But as we stand, I just want to have a moment for us to reflect, right? So you can just quietly close your eyes and just take this time, right, to thank the Lord Jesus for His costly, what is crucial, and for His complete and perfect sacrifice for you. Right? Let's just come, first of all, with thanksgiving, right, to thank Jesus for shedding His blood, for offering His whole body. Is that burnt offering, right? He offered Himself fully. There's not one part of Himself that He withheld from us. Let's just thank Jesus for that sacrifice. Because through that one sacrifice, today you and I receive forgiveness of our sins, sins that we've done in the past, sins that we are still struggling with in this present time. And even sins that in the future we might commit. It's not a time to feel bad about yourself. We know we are sinful. We acknowledge that. But it is a time to come with grateful hearts to thank the Lord Jesus. So let's all just thank God, you know, for that sacrifice. Let's just picture His blood covering all of your sins. And my friends, if you know that there are specific things that you are struggling with, don't give up. Come to Jesus. It's really not about what you can do to overcome your sin. That is important, but first of all, it is about what He has already sacrificed in order for you to be set free. And we know some of us may be struggling with things that are habitual. Even for those things, the blood of Jesus covers it. And if tonight you are feeling far away from God, just begin to ask, Lord, would you just show me how much you have sacrificed for me? This love that you have. And let your love just draw me back to you. Just give you a moment to do that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Jesus is worthy. Amen. Why don't we just give the Lord a big hand? You know, just respond to Him with such thankfulness, such gratitude in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray for all of you before we dismiss. You know, pray that your hearts will be open, so reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus has done for you. And this is actually more precious than anything that you can find in life. The church, I just bless you. Young people, I just proclaim over you that Jesus, His sacrifice is already complete. You are forgiven because of Himself, Him laying down His life for you. And therefore, when you recognize just how much He's willing to forgive you, that you walk out of your sin, you will enter into holiness, you go forth and shine for Him, then you will help many more come to encounter the love, compassion, of forgiveness of Jesus. You not be ashamed to share your life with them, because you know that the Lord has been real, so real to you, that He can be so real to everyone around you. God bless you. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.